It was on a Saturday, July the 19th in 1952, 11:40 in the evening, an air traffic controller at Washington National Airport spotted seven objects on his radar 15 miles south-southwest of the city of Washington. No known aircraft were in the area, and the objects were not following any established flight pattern. When the radar was checked and found to be working, the airport's radar equipment, they called the airport's radar-equipped control tower to check with them. They also had unidentified blips on their radar screen, and a hovering bright light was in the sky which departed with incredible speed. Now, at that point, other objects appeared on all sectors of the radar. When these moved over the White House and over the state capitol, they contacted Andrews Air Force Base 10 miles away. At one point, the radar centers, both radar centers at the airport and the radar at Andrews Air Force Base, were tracking an object that then vanished from all three radars at the same time. Let's go forward to 3 a.m. Sunday morning. Shortly before, two United States Air Force jet fighters from Newcastle Air Force Base in Delaware arrived over Washington, all the objects vanished from the radar. However, when the jets got low on fuel and left, the objects returned. The objects were last detected on radar at 5:30 a.m. Now, these sightings made national headlines in newspapers all across our nation. A typical example is from our own Cedar Rapids Gazette here in Iowa. It read, "Saucers swarm over the Capitol," all in large black type. The week passed, nothing happened during the week, but 1 week later at 8:15 on Saturday, July 26, a pilot and stewardess on a National Airlines flight into Washington observed some lights above their plane. Within minutes, both radar centers at the National Airport and the radar at Andrews Air Force Base were tracking more unknown objects. By 9:30, the radar center were detecting unknown objects in every sector. At times, the objects traveled slowly. At other times, they reversed course and moved across the radar scopes at speeds calculated to be 7,000 miles per hour. At 11:30 p.m., two U.S. Air Force fighter jets from Delaware arrived over Washington. One pilot saw four white glows and chased them. He later told investigators, "I was at my maximum speed. I was chasing them because I then stopped chasing them because I saw no chance of overtaking them." Two more fighter jets were scrambled during the night. One pilot saw nothing unusual. The other pilot saw a white light which vanished when he moved toward it. Civilian aircraft also reported glowing objects that corresponded to radar blips seen by Andrews radar operators. As on the week previously, the sightings and the radar strangeness stopped at dawn. Let's fast forward. January 1993. Tens of thousands of people, including several in government and military service, witnessed silvery looking craft in broad daylight over Mexico City. This continued into the afternoon when two more metallic disc-shaped objects appeared and were recorded by residents on camcorders. Indeed, over 700 videos, including 100 in broad daylight, were collected by researchers. Local newspapers and TV stations heavily featured the sightings, which were also claimed to have been verified by both civilian and military radar. Let's fast forward again. It's now November 2004. The USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group was conducting a series of drills 100 miles southwest of San Diego, California, prior to being deployed in the Persian Gulf. The USS Princeton, part of the strike group, had been picking up mysterious objects for several days on their highly advanced radar. These objects would appear 80,000 feet above sea level, far higher than commercial or military jets typically fly, before descending rapidly toward the sea and stopping at 20,000 feet and hovering. On the 14th, two fighter jets were diverted to intercept one of the strange objects. The lead pilot was Commander David Fravor. He reported seeing an object, white and oval, hovering about 50 feet above a disturbance in the ocean. Fravor was a commander of the elite Black Aces Squadron. He was a Top Gun program graduate with more than 16 years of flying experience. He estimated the object at about 40 feet long, shaped like a Tic Tac candy, with no wings, no rotors, no means of obvious propulsion. He and another pilot, Alex Dietrich, said that they and their two weapons systems officers, which would be in their back seats, both witnessed the object for about 5 minutes. As Fravor spiraled down to get a closer look at the object, it ascended and mirroring the trajectory of his airplane, until the object rapidly accelerated and was gone. It was detected less than a minute later, roughly 60 miles away. They returned to their craft. A second wave of fighters took off from the Nimitz to investigate, and they managed to actually get it on video. Now, we could multiply accounts like these over and over and over again. They're so amazing as to seem unbelievable, but they're too numerous to be discounted. What are we, as born-again believers, to make of this? What are we to think? Well, as we saw in our Bible reading this morning in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, Jesus forewarned, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth. And notice, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, obviously, Jesus is speaking about the coming tribulation period. But we know that future events cast shadows before them. Could the modern UFO phenomena have something to do with this biblical prediction? Many events associated with UFOs are certainly terrifying when you begin to study them. Now, when we think of UFOs, we wonder, what are these people seeing? And we begin to ask questions. Are UFOs for real? Are they extraterrestrial, or are they demonic? Are they something we should be afraid of? These are the questions we'll be considering in this series on UFOs and the Bible. But today we need to set some background. We need to understand what we're going to look at. And then we need to consider the reality of UFOs. So first of all, let's get some background. Let's go around and just set a foundation upon which we can consider this study. As we think about UFOs, we need to understand this. Sightings of UFOs are both historic and global. UFOs are not just an American or a recent phenomenon. Almost every civilization that has kept written history has recorded the sightings of strange objects and lights in the sky. For example, a papyrus record of the annals of Pharaoh Thutmose III about 1600 BC mentions circles of fire in the sky. The circles were as bright as the sun, according to the record, very numerous and dominating the sky. The armies of Alexander the Great about 330 BC said that they saw they were frightened by large luminous aerial objects that buzzed the troops. The writings of certain Roman historians record incidents of unidentified objects in the skies over Rome in the 3rd and 4th centuries BC. Pliny spoke of a fiery shield that swept across the sky. And the historian Livy, about 60 to 17 BC, used the words phantom ships when referring to celestial craft sighted in his time. The medieval times are replete with stories of luminous cloud ships, shiny discs, flying chariots. The American Indians have legends of flying canoes with people on board. Christopher Columbus, on October the 11th, 1492, just hours before land was sighted, saw a glimmering light moving up and down in the distant sky. The light appears and disappeared numerous times during the night. In the latter part of the 19th century, so-called airships were reported in the skies above the United States. During the early decades of aviation, reports of unidentified aerial objects were coming in from both commercial and military pilots. During the Second World War, there were many reports of Allied air crews of small spherical objects that flew around them as they made their bombing runs. They were so common that they got nicknames. They were called Foo Fighters. They found out later that both sides speculated about them. Both sides saw them and thought they were some kind of advanced craft from the enemy side. And UFOs have been sighted virtually around the world. It has been found that no nation is free of UFO sightings. In the United States, UFOs have been reported in every state, with the predominance being in the northeastern and southwestern regions. As we think about UFOs, we also need to realize this. The acceptance of the existence of UFOs has grown steadily over the past century. In the 1940s, people did not take UFOs seriously. A 1947 Gallup poll found that virtually no one considered the objects to be from outer space. Most people considered such sightings to be either hoaxes, secret weapons, illusions of some kind, or some phenomena that could be scientifically explained. By the 1950s, there was a slight shift in public opinion. 3.4% of the population now believed that UFOs were manned by extraterrestrials. In a 1997 poll, 48% thought UFOs were something real. You see, it's going up. About 12% said they had seen something they thought was a UFO. More recent polls show that in America, 41% of Americans now believe that UFOs are evidence that alien life is from another planet and has come to Earth. Moreover, 16% of people claim they have had firsthand sightings of UFOs. Polls seem to hover around that 50% margin of people believing that they're real. So let's go on and let's define. If we're going to talk about UFOs, we need a definition of a UFO. As we think about UFOs, what does it mean? Well, strictly speaking, UFO stands for Unidentified Flying Object. That's pretty broad. That means anything you see in the sky, day or night, that you don't know what it is, you don't identify it, it's a UFO. So if we look at it that way, I think we've all seen UFOs. That's what it means. But what do people think? When we think of UFOs, most people think of flying saucers containing aliens. That's not what it means, but that's what we think. And now there's a new designation. Back in 2016, Jimmy Kimmel asked presidential candidate at the time, Hillary Clinton, about UFOs. She corrected his terminology, saying, "You know, there's a new name. It's unidentified aerial phenomenon. UAP. In 2022, Congress officially broadened UFO to UAPs, but they said UAPs stand for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. Now that's a mouthful. UFO is easier, but UAPs. Why did they change it? Well, they could then use it to document unidentified craft maneuvering through the air, through space, or even through the sea. We've seen that UFOs have quite a history. But what about this modern movement? Why are people accepting it so much today? Well, the modern UFO movement began back in 1947. On June the 24th of that year, Seattle businessman Kenneth Arnold was piloting his private plane over Cascade Mountains, Washington, when he saw something unusual. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he sighted 9 extremely bright aircraft flying in formation at an immense rate of speed. Being an experienced pilot, he estimated that they were at an altitude of between 9,500 feet and 10,000 feet, and he clocked them from Mount Rainier to Mount Adams, arriving at the amazing speed of about 1,200 miles an hour, far faster than any plane in existence at that time. He described the craft as saucer-like because he claimed that they moved, and I quote, like saucers that skipped across the water, unquote. That gave us our term, flying saucers, which became so popular with public opinion. The next day, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer newspaper ran the headline, Mystery Disc Hurling Across the Sky. The New York Times picked up the story. Now, honestly, Arnold's treatment by the media was less than favorable. He was so ridiculed that eventually he stated that he would not report a flying 10-story building if he saw it. But he wasn't the only one who had reported seeing objects that day. At least 20 other reports of similar sightings, the majority originating from the Pacific Northwest, added credence to his story. By the end of the year, more than 850 sightings were reported to the media. So the government got involved. Shortly after this rash of sightings, the U.S. government responded by assembling an investigative team to uncover the truth about UFOs. You see, the Cold War had begun, and the American military was concerned that these ships might be advanced Soviet aircraft. The Air Force began Project Sign. Originally, they called it Project Saucer, but then they changed it to Project Sign. In January of 1948, to monitor all information concerning UFO sightings. The project's initial goals were modest. The group's principal concern was the possibility of the Soviet Union developing secret weapons. But they soon concluded that the vast majority of sightings were real but explainable and nothing extraordinary. So they shut down. On February the 11th, though, of 1949, Project Sign was replaced by Project Grudge. As Air Force researchers became convinced that U.S. reports were not extraordinary phenomena, their new mandate sought to alleviate the mystery and keep tabs of the UFOs. The project sought to explain the sightings by reference to natural events when appropriate. But still, about 23% of their cases were left unexplained. Project Grudge officials found no evidence of advanced or exotic Soviet weapons behind the UFO reports. They concluded that UFOs did not threaten national security, and so they terminated their project in December of 1949. Some years went by. Toward the end of the Korean War, there was a large number of reported sightings again. This forced U.S. interest in UFOs to again occur. A new study of UFOs was ordered. It was entitled Project Blue Book. Most of us probably have heard of this. It began on March of 1952. Its principal focus again was to alleviate public anxiety by showing that UFOs were naturally occurring phenomena, neither a threat from the Soviet Union nor a threat from outer space. Project Blue Book ended in December of 1969 after examining 12,000 reports, and they explained away 94% of them, but that still left 6% they couldn't explain. And then we have the shutting down of official investigation. We have to understand the Air Force at this time. It was totally different when it started out. It was a relative new agency back in 1948, and it needed to establish a preeminent reason for its very existence. The Soviet threat and the ability of them to deliver atomic munitions gave them kind of an understanding or reason to exist. And being the principal strategic arm of the U.S., the Air Force would naturally be responsible for giving an account of unidentified flying objects, whether Soviet or extraterrestrial. But by the mid-1960s, the Air Force wanted a way out of investigating the UFOs. They no longer needed to justify why they were in existence. And honestly, Project Blue Book was very costly, and it really strained the U.S.'s resources. They found no evidence that UFOs were a threat, nor were they any evidence they were extraterrestrial. So they wanted to get rid of this. After several failed attempts to get universities to take over the project, the Air Force finally contracted with the University of Colorado for an 18-month study, and physicist Edward Condon headed the project. The panel... Sorry, let me get those up there for you. I'm behind there. The panel gave a report called A Scientific Study of UFOs. It was also known as the Condon Report. It investigated 15 UFO sightings. What did they conclude? And by the way, there are different people who said they didn't really take it very seriously. They just wanted to get it done. The report concluded that not only were there no real evidence for extraterrestrials aboard the UFOs, but that further study of UFOs should cease. Based upon this report, Project Blue Book was closed down on December of 1969. But recently, there has been renewed interest in UFOs. 2017, perhaps earlier, the U.S. Department of Defense initiated the Unexplained Aerial Phenomena Task Force. Man, they don't keep things small, do they? Assigned with the investigation of UFOs which were found near military installations. And then in November of 2021, the Pentagon revealed the formation of the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. That's a mouthful. To oversee UFO investigations. Then, on May the 17th of 2022, members of the United States House Intelligence Subcommittee on Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation held congressional hearings with top military officials to discuss the military reports of unexplained aerial phenomena. Now, this is important because it is the first hearings of UFO sightings by the U.S. in 50 years. Then, just last year, July of 2023, the House Oversight Subcommittee held hearings on the subject of UFOs. So, are UFOs real? Well, they have quite a history. Our government's put out a lot of money looking about them. And recently now, we have the Congress having hearings about them. So, what are some possible explanations? Well, first of all, we need to know that at least 97% are explainable. Most UFOs, unidentified flying objects, become IFOs, identified flying objects. In fact, most people say at least 95 to even 99% can be identified. So let's just say at least 97%. Well, how are they explainable? There's natural phenomena. Astrophysicist Hugh Ross states, "To those unfamiliar with astronomical or atmospheric phenomena, the ordinary can appear extraordinary. UFO reports often result from misidentification of seemingly mysterious but nevertheless natural phenomena. These would include, believe it or not, the moon, stars, and planets. It is said that 27% of all sightings are actually the planet Venus, and people misidentify it. There's ball lightning. This little-known kind of lightning involves plasma. It is usually oval in shape, intense red, often heard the sizzle, and moves around with incredible vigor, sometimes hanging motionless, at other times darting about at high speeds and instantly changing directions." Sounds like some UFO sightings. "There's also unusual weather conditions, comets, meteor swarms, flocks of birds who have picked up phosphorus dust on their bellies or wings. Swarms of flying insects have been misidentified. Reflections from atmospheric inversion layers. Hot ionized gas, even reflected light. The most common false reports because of human faulty perception arises from the lack of adequate dark adaption. It has been said that if a person goes out from a bright room out into the dark and they have not been out more than 10 minutes, if they just walk out, they can misidentify what they're seeing. And so people say, I saw a UFO. No, it's usually because of their eyes haven't adapted yet. Also, a key factor to keep in mind regarding this is that experts tell us that the human eye can easily be tricked, even to the point of hallucination. Such illusions, coupled with a desire to interpret visual images a certain way, turn into UFO reports. And then there are man-made phenomena. Not just the natural phenomena, but man-made phenomena. These include sometimes balloons, aircraft, artificial satellites, space junk, helicopters, blimps, fireworks, lasers aimed at the clouds, searchlights. And don't overlook this idea. Unconventional aircraft or secret advanced technology. There's what's known as black projects or secret projects that the government is involved in. They don't want people to know about them. In the late 1950s and early 1960s, one of these involved a saucer-shaped craft that would hover above the ground. Now, this no doubt added to some of the accounts of UFO sightings, especially in Washington State. And then in 1997, the CIA admitted in a study that the Air Force had lied to the public, surprise, about UFO sightings in the 1950s and the 1960s. During the Cold War, the American Air Force frequently provided explanation for UFO sightings that were lies, untrue, in order to deflect attention from the super secret spy planes that they were using. It is said that over half of all UFO reports from the late 1950s and through the 1960s was accounted for by spy planes over the U.S. They were the U-2s. They were silver, and they reflected the sun's rays, especially at sunrise and at sunset. At that time, commercial aircraft flew no higher than 20,000 feet. Because the U-2s did, they often reflected the sunlight from that altitude after it was still dark, or had become dark on the ground. And a new wave of UFOs reported. Because of this, these U-2s were later painted black. I don't know why they didn't do it from the beginning, but later they painted them black. Blue Book's research officials, aware of the U-2 program, and later the SR-71 Blackbird program, were obliged to make up things and say, well, it was this or it was that. And they lied about it because they didn't want people to know what was going on. And then there's deliberate hoaxes. If you begin to read about UFOs, you're going to find books that have doctored photographs, false or embellished testimonies, cleverly crafted balloons, rockets, and models that were made to look like spacecraft, landing site frauds, and even fraudulent abductee and contactee claims. So at least 97% can be identified. But there's the unexplainable, about 3%. There's a stubborn residue of cases, 3, 2, 1%, whatever, that they just can't figure out what they are. Now, let me say a few things. Just because they don't know doesn't mean that there's not a good explanation for it, and maybe we'll find it out sometime. It also doesn't mean that there's, just because it's not some naturally occurring phenomena, that necessarily it's a spaceship. So we need to jump to that conclusion. But although the majority of UFO reports can be explained naturally, there is a residual remains. These reports have been called RUFOs, meaning residual UFOs. And if only 1% of UFO reports remain unexplained, that means that over the past five decades, there are more than tens of thousands of cases, maybe more. Now, how can these seemingly inexplicable UFO reports be approached? And that's what we've been interested in. There's three ways of looking at them. First is the extraterrestrial hypothesis. That's shortened in books to ETH. This is the idea that intelligent beings from other planets are visiting the Earth. That's the common way of looking at it. This view proposes that UFOs are objective, physical, metallic spacecrafts piloted by interplanetary visitors. But the interesting thing is that while the extraterrestrial hypothesis remains the most popular explanation, especially among Americans, it is rejected as a credible hypothesis by many serious UFO researchers. The interdimensional hypothesis, IDH, views the origin of the nature of UFOs as belonging not to extraterrestrial spacecraft, but to another realm of reality beyond our space-time continuum. While this is not a popular view in America, it has the support of some UFOlogists in countries around the world. Now, why would they hold this position? Well, think of this. Despite the millions of sightings of UFOs, there has never been one single radar detection of a UFO entering our atmosphere from outer space. Why not? The evidence suggests that these UFOs are capable of producing physical effects, but they themselves are not physical. But what do I mean by physical effects? There have been accounts of scorched, denuded circles of land and soil depression. Animals become noticeably agitated. Humans report nausea, headache, temporary paralysis, blindness, numbness, and sensations of heat or weightlessness when they see the craft. Some observers experience serious injuries, even death, and machines and electrical systems have become impacted. But although there are these physical aspects, they disobey firmly established physical laws. So they're non-physical. You see, there's no physical artifacts, even after supposed crashes. There's no sonic booms generated when they break the sound barrier. They make impossibly sharp turns, even 90 degrees, at high rates of speed that would smash people aboard. They stop suddenly. They have impossible accelerations. Many are detected by radar but not seen, and on the other hand, many are seen but not detected on radar. They've been known to change shape, size, and color at random. They are known to suddenly appear and then just disappear. They produce light, but they cause no shadows. They sometimes vanish instantly. They sometimes are said to enter into the ground. One researcher commented that it is literally impossible to understand them within the space-time framework we use to interpret ordinary events. Dr. Pierre Guérin, an astrophysicist of the French Institute of Astrophysics, says that those scientists who reject the reality of UFOs do so because the phenomenon does not fit into our understanding of science. He says, and I quote, "Scientists are not only embarrassed by UFOs, they're furious because they don't understand them. There is no possibility of explaining them in a three-dimensional space-time physics." Unquote. J. Allen Hynek, a scientific consultant for the U.S. Air Force on Project Blue Book, who investigated UFOs for nearly 40 years, stated back in 1977 that UFOs may be psychic phenomena and the aliens may not be from outer space, but from a parallel reality. He submitted that they might be slipping in and out of sequence with our own reality. That's why people are beginning to move over to this idea. But may I propose one more hypothesis? The spiritual hypothesis. Some UFOlogists, especially Christians, have ascribed angelic or demonic interpretations to this idea of interdimensional presence. Even a number of secular UFOlogists have argued for a correspondence between UFO phenomena and the occult or demonism phenomena. Jack Vallée, a major researcher of UFOs, observes an impressive parallel between UFO occupants and the popular conception of demons. Vallée says, and I quote, "The UFO beings of today belong to the same class of manifestations as the demonic entities that were described in centuries past," unquote. In a U.S. government official document entitled UFOs and Related Subjects, an Annotated Bibliography, it says, "Many of the UFO reports being published in the popular press recount alleged incidents that are strikingly similar to demonic possession and psychic phenomena, which has long been known to theologians and parapsychologists." Are UFOs real? It sure seems to be. There's still that residual, those UFOs, that cannot be explained. As we bring this introductory study to a close, let me state that personally, I believe UFOs are demonic in nature. Now, we will consider that in far more detail in a later message. But you might be thinking, everyone knows that there's life on other planets elsewhere in the universe. Everyone knows that UFOs are alien spacecraft from other worlds. We see that constantly on TV and in movies, and that's what many of the scientists are telling us. Well, guys, you're going to have to come back next week. We'll begin to look at that next time. This is just an introduction to give us a foundation for what we're going to look at in weeks ahead. But I need to state that we don't need to be afraid. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world or any demonic spirit. Our Father, this has been kind of a longish and kind of a slow at times moving, but Father, we needed to set a foundation. And Lord, I pray that we have done so today, and in the weeks ahead, we can delve more into different things. And Father, that you will be glorified. And Father, that we will have answers to those about us who are confused. And Lord, that we would not be deceived because we have learned the truth. May you be glorified in all that is said and done here and in our lives all week long. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.